Coming up on the Shelley Irwin Show podcast today, wildfires pose a growing threat to communities in all 50 states, and we talk about wildfire community preparedness. Mel Trotter Ministries is preparing for the seasonal change. We get the details. New data shows that Americans are rethinking how they vacation. We dive into that as well. Today is the start of Public Media Giving Days. We talk about how you can participate, and Michigan CASA is hosting their It Takes All of Us gala soon. We get the preview of that as well.
Tomorrow, Saturday, a big day. It's Wildlife Community Preparedness Day, so we talk about it. No longer confined to a handful of high-risk regions, wildfires now pose a growing threat to communities in all 50 states. We might ask about Michigan, so that's why we ask about this day on Saturday, co-sponsored by the National Fire Protection Association, State Farm, and more. I turn to you, Michelle Steinberg, Director of the Wildlife Division at the NFPA. Good work you do. Thank you. Morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
You are welcome. I want to get right into this day, which is Saturday, May 2nd. What is this Preparedness Day?
Right. So Wildfire Community Preparedness Day is an opportunity for folks to learn about their wildfire risks and get together with neighbors to do projects that will reduce risk to their homes igniting. These are things that can be done across the community, and it's a really great opportunity for people to help their neighbors maybe that aren't able to get out there and take away the material that could cause a fire from around their home.
And how are we doing when it comes to wildfires in the U.S. of A., if you would, Michelle?
Sure. So I think that what we're seeing is a lot more, not necessarily a lot more frequency, but when we do have wildfires, conditions are such that they tend to spread faster, burn hotter, and threaten more structures and neighborhoods. So it's really important for people to be aware of the conditions, such as hot, dry weather and especially windy days, to be very careful around using fire in the first place so that we don't cause wildfires. But also the simple steps that people can take that are more or less, you know, good housekeeping outside the home to prevent ignitions on or near the home at the time of a wildfire.
So let's spend a moment or two. That is your expertise. What can we do to help protect our homes and maybe an example of a risk reduction project?
Sure. So some of the best ways to protect homes is to take a look at the home, starting with the roof, into the eaves, down the sides, siding, windows, vents, and any connections to the structure, such as decks, porches, patios, and even our fences that we share with neighbors. So all of these things could lead pathways for fire to ignite our homes. And they typically, what we see is that embers that are the small pieces of burning material that come off of a fire, those are sneaky and they can get into open screens, open vents. That's where you want to pay attention. They can collect in gutters that are full of debris, perhaps. They can pile up right near the home in corners. And so these are the areas around the home. We can sort of check and see where could an ember, first of all, get in, or where could it catch material that's around my home. So it's really important to look at that. And when I mention fences, we share these with neighbors. You might be doing a cleanup in your yard, maybe throw that material over the fence. Well, it's going to still ignite if you have a wood fence, for example, and threaten both your home and your neighbor's home. So those are areas that we want to, first of all, really look at and clear out wherever we can any burnable material, and then talk with our neighbors or look over and see where could we be affecting one another if we're close together.
And this is the home ignition zone?
Right. So what I'm describing, the home ignition zone, is a term that scientists use to describe the area where we can make the biggest impact on protecting our homes. So it's the home itself, like I said, from the roof down to the eaves, walls, and immediate space around it. And that only extends from studies and the way they're thinking about this about 100 feet out. And many of us don't have 100 feet in all directions from the sides of our homes, and this is where we overlap with our neighbors. But that's the area where we can actually remove any burnable material and make these protective actions well before a fire and work with our neighbors. So working in that home ignition zone will help reduce the likelihood that embers or flames can touch the house or impact the house.
Michelle Steinberg with us, Director of the Wildlife Division at the NFPA. That would be an important conversation we are having as Wildlife Community Preparedness Day is tomorrow, Saturday. So focus on the immediate 5 feet on or around the home. And then why is it important to prepare homes well in advance of wildfires? That's probably even a silly question, but we need to be reminded, Michelle.
Sure. I think that most people think you see a fire, you start to activate, you start to do your preparedness or react to the fire. What we want people to do is long in advance to think about their environment, think about the likelihood that perhaps you wouldn't be home if a fire were to start in the area. You might be somewhere else. Is give your home a fighting chance to survive by doing these activities when it's blue sky, when there's not smoke in the air, gives you the peace of mind, gets you a little more educated about what could go wrong, and so you can be more prepared well ahead of time.
And back to what is happening in our state of Michigan. Any specific notes here?
Sure. I think that it's often where we don't see wildfire frequently, or we think about wildfire as a West Coast problem or a California problem. It's easy to say, well, it won't happen here. But in fact, every state in the U.S. has some level of wildfire risk. So if you're living in an area that's got some beautiful natural environment, talk to your fire department. Talk to your state forester. They have a lot of knowledge about the likelihood of fire, the history of fire in your area. And in fact, there have been historic fires in Michigan over the last century or so, that what could happen and what could I do to be prepared right in my area? That's a really important conversation to have. It's also something that we live in these beautiful areas because we love nature, but to understand that a lot of our natural systems rely on fire for habitat, for the health of the soil, and so that fire is present and is part of the area. We just need to understand how to live a little bit more safely with it. So that is really important for people in Michigan and every place else in the U.S.
Appreciate you. Lastly, again, how do I spend tomorrow, Saturday, May 2nd?
We would love it if you would get prepared for wildfire, and you can find out more about how to do that at our website, wildfireprepday.org.
Very well. Prevention, the key. Thank you very much, Michelle Steinberg, for protecting, our wild from the fires as Director of the Wildlife Division at the NFPA. Take care.
Thank you.
With the exception of May Day, May Day, but let's not go there. Mel Trotter Ministries finally led by one Chris Pulaski, finally in like fine wine. Chris, glad that we are here. I've seen you on other interviews. I've seen you in the public, and obviously we met at a Rotary function, and I'm glad that you are here to ask for how the community can help to answer that. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, and I've never been described as fine wine. Wow.
That was a compliment.
Yes.
Yes, because you come from the leadership at Mel Trotter Ministries has been strong, and I look forward to your leadership as well, Chris. So fine wine is my description.
Wonderful.
How is that? It's 5 o'clock somewhere. Mel Trotter Ministries, we're moving into a new season. I hope all went well with our weather come this past season, but we now move into, less hats and gloves before we go on how to help Mel Trotter Ministries. How do you define your work?
So, first of all, thanks for having me today. It's great to be here. And so my name is Chris Pulaski, and I can't even say I'm the new guy anymore. I've been here for a year and a half. So
I'm way behind in getting you on.
Well, no, I'm happy to be here. Before this, I was in Ukraine. So I worked there for about a year and a half. And then before that, I was here in Grand Rapids with Bethany Christian Services. And I've been doing the tour with my family for years. And it's just nice to be back home. So I'll say first, it's nice to be back home. We had the discussion when we were overseas about where do we want to go? And we wanted to come back to our home. And I had the opportunity to take a job with Mel Trotter. So I head up Mel Trotter Ministries. And it's interesting, when I was interviewing for the job, somebody said, Mel Trotter's looking for a CEO. And I said, isn't it that shelter? And I kind of said it with a little bit of I don't know, it wasn't nice. And the guy looked at me and he said, there's a lot more there, look into it. And I was like, oh, wow. So I looked into it, and we do diversion and prevention programs. So we try to keep people from becoming homeless. We've got a great shelter, and it's got 550 beds, but we don't do the work alone in that shelter. So we work with Family Promise for families. We've got 31 family units, and they do the case management. We've got a clinic in there, a full functioning clinic, not only for our guests, but also for the community, and that's run by Catherine's Health. We've got people who are in our workforce development programming. We've got 265 emergency beds, and we can flex like we did this last winter for like 100 beds when it's really cold. We call it code blue. So we got that. And then we don't want people to be in shelter. So we have workforce developments, and it's Next Step of West Michigan, which is part of Mel Trotter. And we teach people the hard skills and the soft skills, and we teach them how to build homes. We teach them how to work in retail. We teach them how to work in restaurants. So at Mel Trotter, what I learned is we don't want people to have to come into shelter. So we'll do everything we can to divert them. We, in fact, diverted hundreds of people last year from becoming homeless. If they do come in shelter, we don't want people to stay there. We want them to launch. We want them to be able to live the best lives that they can. And we do that with affordable housing, transitional housing, workforce development. We're just finishing our first we just finished our first 10 tiny homes. We've got apartments. But we're not managing these alone. ICCF is managing these for us. So we look at it as we're part of an ecosystem, and we want to help people out.
Yes. So let's get into how the community can help.
Great. Yes. So we are a Christian organization. And so I always say it's easy to get involved and do something. I think people almost are paralyzed when they're like, well, what can I do? And I always say, well, can you pray? Can you please pray for our guests? Can you please pray for our staff? Please pray. Volunteer. We have so many opportunities. If they go on meltrotter.org, they can volunteer in a kitchen. They can volunteer in intake. They can go out with our outreach team and help people on the streets. There are so many different opportunities. So check it out, meltrotter.org. Obviously, people can donate. We need money to keep the organization going. But I just want people to do something. Get involved. You can. And I mean, the entry level is pretty low. Wherever you are right now, you can pray, and that's doing something.
Yes. Are you Chris Paluski, again, CEO of Mel Trotter Ministries, okay with the word shelter?
I think it's a necessary. I don't like shelter. I don't like it. I don't want people to have to be in shelter. So if we can keep people in their homes, that's much better. And if they do come in shelter, we want to provide great services where they feel safe, loved, and connected. But the quicker they can get out, the better it's for the individual, it's better for the family, it's better for the kids, it's better for everybody. So do I like the word shelter? I think it's a necessary evil, but I do think that we want to provide a quality service to people while they're going through really difficult times.
Yes. So at this point, there is housing available.
Correct.
And that's tentative?
Well, we actually have a big network we work with Downtown Pathways. And there's a big group of us. We meet together. And we've got housing providers in there. We've got other shelter providers. And we work to try to get people housed. So you've got medical folks in there also. We try to meet people where they're at. And you know what? Everybody's best life is not the same. So when you talk about housing, you know what? Some people need permanent supportive housing. I've got some older guests that need adult foster care because they fell through the cracks and they're living in shelter and they should not be living in shelter. We've got some people who have a job. They've been able to save up money. They get an apartment. And in fact, it's kind of neat. So we finished these first 10 tiny homes. We had people who came into Mel Trotter. They were homeless. They went through our job training program. They helped to build the tiny homes. And I have several of those people that have moved into those tiny homes. So they help to build the homes that they're living in now. They're saving up money. And then the hope is that they'll live there for 1, 2, 3 years. They'll have enough money to put down as a deposit on their own home. So we want people to live their best lives. And it looks different for everybody.
Again, Mel Trotter Ministries under Chris Paluski's leadership. 125 years, you're moving into 126 years.
We are. We're getting old.
Older, but bigger and better and wiser. What do you say to us that pull up to the side of the street and there's a gentleman or gentlewoman asking for help?
So normally what I do is I'll say, hey, you know what? Mel Trotter's right down the street because I have a lot of people in the community and they don't know what to do. So we have 8 thrift stores. And we partner with a lot of churches. And what we do in those thrift stores is we give churches that partner with us coupons for those thrift stores. So people can go in and they can get clothes if they need it. If people are hungry, we have meals here at Mel Trotter. We do breakfast. We do dinner for lunch. God's Kitchen's right up the street. And in fact, next year, God's Kitchen is going to be partnering with us and a group of seven churches and Degage Ministries to do another warming center during the wintertime, and they will provide meals. So no one should starve in Grand Rapids. There is food out there. There is shelter out there. So I always try to encourage people to refer people to, hey, do you need resources? Mel Trotter's out there. Degage's out there. Catherine's Health is out there. You know, they're right down the street, as a matter of fact. We're in the middle of the neighborhood.
Yes. And you continue to serve Easter holidays, Christmas holidays. This is a big deal.
Yeah, we have our regular volunteer and holiday opportunities. We do about 1,500 meals, actually between 1,500 and 2,000 meals at DeVos Place. We do that every year. We get about 500 volunteers, which is wonderful. So first of all, I want to say thank you. Thank you to the people who volunteer for our meals at Mel Trotter, because we couldn't do it without it. It's part of the community. We feel honored to be part of the community, but we can't do it alone. So yes, we do these events, but we have to have volunteers to help us out, not just with those events, but on kind of a daily basis too. So again, if you want to get involved, we've got lots of opportunities.
What's the vision under your leadership?
You know, I hope that we need less shelter, and I think we can do that. I think it is possible. So the idea is, working with Downtown Pathways, that we have less people entering into homelessness than we have exiting. So we have basically the number is declining, and we're getting there. People are getting housed. We are working with individuals. We don't want to warehouse people. We want to meet people where they're at and help them to meet with their individual needs. So with this group, we've come together and said, okay, how can we do this? How can we work together? How can we get people housed? So the vision is to grow our diversion and prevention. The vision is to shrink the shelter in many ways. I mean, we'll still have emergency shelter. It will always be there. But I'd also like to look at, I don't know, maybe different locations for shelter. So we have our big location in downtown. We know that there's extra needed space for families. We've seen that family homelessness grow. We're trying to provide extra space for families. And I'm hoping that in 5-10 years from now, rather than having a 550-bed shelter, maybe we're down to, I don't know, 200, 300, something like that. So that's the vision. And also growing our workforce development. We want people to be able to work when they can work.
Let's get you back to work, Chris. Much to do and will be done. How do I find out more information to volunteer?
MelTrotter.org. Check it out. We'd love to see you.
As easy as that. Thank you, Chris, for your leadership, your passion, and your good work, you and the team with Mel Trotter Ministries. Take care.
Thank you.
Talk all things travel. Weather is starting to, favor spring, perhaps even that summer travel you are discussing with the family. Let's get an update on these summer travel trends. Shorter, closer trips are we taking, perhaps? Let's turn to you, Big America 250 to celebrate. So hopefully you have plans to do such as that. Consumer analyst and travel industry expert, that's you, Regina Lewis. Good morning to you.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Appreciate you. And it's good to travel. And I see, according to the U.S. Travel Association, domestic leisure travel demand remains relatively resilient despite economic concerns. Take it from here.
Sure, absolutely. Particularly for young people. And I think when you look at it now, I have young adult children, that Gen X, Y, millennial cohort, it's not discretionary spend for them. They're going 100%. In fact, they don't even call them vacations. They call them trips, and they take them with greater frequency. But the economic lens is absolutely there, right? That's certainly telling when the U.S. Travel Association looks at the data, which it aggregates all across the country. We are seeing those, as you alluded to, shorter duration trips. So Thursday becomes the new Friday. Maybe I go away for 3-day trips. And especially this summer, it almost feels like every weekend is 4th of July, but that may mean closer to home destinations, another trend. And then when you get there, making value-driven decisions. Let's not break the bank. Everybody's on a budget. But this summer lends itself to that, in Michigan in particular.
to expand on Michigan. Why do you say that?
Well, you know, one, hats off. Michigan does a wonderful job with tourism. I was just actually researching and looking and so inspiring. Travel Michigan, Michigan Association Convention and Visitors Bureaus, the hashtag Pure Michigan. It's so inspiring. It makes you want to point your car that direction. And I think you can expect that this season and vice versa. If you're in Michigan, treat your hometown as if you're a tourist. And obviously there are other places that you can go to across the country. And it surprises on the upside when you get there, many of the events that are being surfaced this spring and summer, which are already underway, no need to wait for 4th of July, have the best price point I know of, which is free.
It does help. And yes, we just had a great interview with Pure Michigan earlier this week. Tell me about these America 250 events that are happening, well, nationwide, and I know right even in our own backyard. Regina?
100%. And thank you for asking. So I started attending them because I thought, you know, I want to see this firsthand before I start talking about it. So I went with my daughter and her friend. They're in their late 20s. We went to the Smithsonian Museum in D.C., so... Right, so Destination DC, the Michigan equivalent of Travel Michigan,
right. Really
surprises on the upside. Obviously, that's the epicenter, along with Philadelphia, Welcome America, all of these things you can find on an interactive calendar. But then there's some kind of, well, wait a second, okay, I would have guessed that, right? But what about Louisville? What about Indianapolis, which now has 800 miles of trails? I used to live there, but this is a classic example of, I don't want to say shame on me, but not taking advantage of what's right in your backyard and what now has been invested in. So Indianapolis, Colorado, New Orleans, St. Petersburg, really think outside the box. If ever the average American has been to fewer than 10 states, this is the summer to get that number to 12, 13. Let's go for it.
You and I both, having spent time in the great Hoosier land, talking all things U.S. travel. Again, of course, Michigan, but get to know our own nation, the U.S. Travel Association Strong, Regina Lewis, you as well, national television consumer analyst, and of course, talking about this. What would be a simple way or two to save money? I still have to gas up the tank unless I'm all electric.
If you are, hats off. I actually think I get asked a lot about that, and I think people are really talking about value, and there's two components, time and money. So ask yourself, say it out loud, I can't believe we haven't been there. Where is there? Right? Or I can't believe we haven't done that. Now, maybe it's Alaska, maybe it's Hawaii, maybe that's not in the cards, hence the Louisvilles. And the Indianapolises and Chicago and Salt Lake City, Utah, great one, Las Vegas making a resurgence. But it's very telling because that's what you value and you won't regret that. And so I cover the economy and buyer's remorse. You might regret the sweater or the purchase, but almost nobody regrets the memories they made or the trip they took. And that's why I think you see young people and I think everyone saying, look, here's where I'm going to put my time and my money. And it's just a great forcing factor. I think those two prompts go a long way.
And are you encouraging traveling, planes, trains, and or automobiles?
Great question. So obviously a lot of coverage around planes. I think you're going to see, and we are seeing when U.S. Travel Association aggregates the data, regional flights. So, you know, don't rule that out. Some of them are very short and some of them can be very affordable. Road trips will be the rage this summer. So absolutely. And you can broaden that aperture based on what your budget allows. But I certainly wouldn't rule out regional flights.
Wonderful. Where are you traveling this summer, good lady?
Thank you. I am going to go back to Indianapolis. I'm really into it. They have something called trail mixers based on these trails. And I have young, single adult kids. And I thought, you know, let's get out there. Let's meet people. Let's do this. I'm just back from Boston. There's something called Sail 250, where these majestic ships are going to New Orleans and elsewhere. And you're right on time. So if you're starting now and you're using AI to travel plan, as so many are, prompt it. Say, how do I take advantage of U.S. Travel Association member organizations or America 250 events? And even prompt it. Say, create an itinerary for a hotel concierge. It next levels the results. You'll be amazed.
Just do it, as they say. Life is short. Okay, where is the best reference for me, Regina Lewis? How do I find out more about the association at all?
Oh, Well, thank you for asking. So the interactive map is at America250.org, and ustravel.org has all and the vetted, the members that are the, right, because people worry about, is this legit, et cetera, and they've vetted all of that. They have more than 30,000 members, including many in Michigan. So that's a great resource as well, and it's ustravel.org.
All right, go get them. Thanks for the reminder. There is a world out there to visit. Regina Lewis, take care to you.
You too. I'll see you out there.
Day one of our public media giving day. So I throw it to you, Brooke Hotchkiss, and you, Joe Perrin. Joe, you on earlier to talk about a special day to give and support. Good morning.
That's right. Good morning, Shelley. Thank you so much, listeners, for joining us here this morning on the Shelley Irwin Show. It is day one of public media giving days. This is one of 2 days where we are coming to you to ask for your support and your investment in this community resource. But we're also asking for you to share with others, to share with us, why do you connect with public radio? Why do you tune in? Why do you find purpose and why do you find value in the storytelling that you hear on the Shelley Irwin Show and the headlines and reporting that you find here, in the jazz music that you find here as well? And you can make a gift of support to power the Shelley Irwin Show and all that you love here online at wgvu.org/giveday. And it is a great day to make that sustaining monthly gift in the amount that is meaningful for you, whether it's $8 or $10, maybe $20. But your gift of support matters, especially in the face of losing our federal funding. And as we come up on 1 year since that that vote to rescind all federal funding for public radio. And as Shelley was saying, we're playing some music from the Grand Rapids Jazz Orchestra. We have a special event coming up here this weekend. My colleague here, Brooke Hotchkiss, WGVU's membership manager. You want to tell them about that?
Absolutely. We hope that you'll join us tomorrow night, that's Saturday, May 2nd, at Founders Brewing Company in Grand Rapids at 7 p.m. We are going to be having an evening of live jazz that's going to feature the Grand Rapids Jazz Orchestra as well as Candid Antics. Again, that's starting at 7 p.m. tomorrow, Saturday, May 2nd at Founders Brewing Company. It's going to be just great music, craft brews, including the Viewers Like Brew beer that Founders Brewing Company made for WGVU, and it's a chance to gather with other jazz lovers, public media supporters, and celebrate public media giving days. That is a free concert. There is going to be a suggested donation that will support WGVU at the door there, but that's just an open to all. Come celebrate with us. We'll be giving out some fun swag and just celebrating the joy and value that is public radio and public television here in West Michigan.
Yeah, that's exactly right. This is community-powered public radio. It's public radio that's made for everyone, and it is powered by you. And you power this programming that helps us tell the stories, not just big stories happening around the globe. You know, there's a lot of important headlines. The news comes at you thick and fast, and public radio is here to help you distill that and understand it. But you also tune in here, and you are powering the local conversations, and those are just as important because this is your community. And for over 40 years, WGVU NPR has been here to bring you the news and the headlines and to bring you the depth and to bring you the conversation and the discourse behind the headlines, because there's a lot happening in West Michigan. This is a quickly growing community, and it is important for each of us to understand what's happening and to understand one another. And I really think that is one of the great powers of public radio. And the most wonderful things about it is that it helps us understand what makes each of us unique and special, but also the shared humanity, the stories, the issues, the things that we all deal with. So I want to, again, ask you and invite you to make an investment in WGVU NPR right now. You can go online to our secure donation site. It just takes a minute at wgvu.org/giveday. That's wgvu.org/giveday.
And when you make your gift today, if you haven't already become a sustaining monthly donor, we invite you to make your gift as an ongoing monthly contribution. That helps us to plan ahead for the future in the best way possible. And we really appreciate the support of all of our members and donors and those sustaining members. Again, it's so helpful for us as we plan for our future as being 100% community funded here from Grand Rapids. So we invite you to make a gift to support the public radio station you love. That's wgvu.org/giveday. You can also share your why, whether you're posting that on social media, why you love public radio, why you love public media. You can tag WGVU on those social media posts and spread the love of public radio to somebody else in your life.
No, continue.
Yeah, and again, we are going to be featuring the Grand Rapids Jazz Orchestra tomorrow night at Founders Brewing Company, along with another local jazz ensemble, Candid Antics. So I want to invite you to come out for the WGVU Jazz Night and celebrate Public Media Giving Days with us. You know, we do have some great jazz programming, 50 hours of curated jazz and blues programming here on WGVU NPR every single week. Jazz is the great American art form. It is chaos that's organized. It is emotion and passion and community and all of these things. And it is a collaborative effort. It is something that is oftentimes greater than the sum of its parts. And that's just what public media and public radio is all about. It is bringing people together. It is celebrating each other. It is supporting and lifting each other up. And public radio does that by bringing you independent reporting, by bringing you the stories, by bringing you the connection with each other, and the music that provides the soundtrack for our days and for our lives. And again, here in Public Media Giving Days, Brooke and I want to ask you to invest in that public resource that is public radio. Donate online right now, maybe $8 a month, $10, $15 a month, whatever is meaningful for you, it makes a big difference. And you can do that online again, wgvu.org/giveday. That's wgvu.org/giveday.
That's right. Your support of any dollar amount makes a difference here. Just like Joe said, we are a jazz ensemble together of the public radio team that brings you the radio here at the news and information and storytelling from West Michigan, the national NPR reporters stationed around the globe, bringing us the global and national news that we need to stay informed, and our community of supporters who donate to support this local non-commercial public radio station. That's all part of our jazz band here together. So we're inviting you to make that gift of any dollar amount. Truly, it's all about giving what you can give and making a difference for our community. No gift is too small. No gift is too large. So we're just inviting you to give generously what you can give today for Public Media Giving Days. Again, the place to go to make that gift is wgvu.org/giveday, or you can give us a call. That telephone number is 1-866-NPR-WGVU if you'd like to make your gift by phone. Again, that's 1-866-NPR-WGVU if you'd like to give us a call and make your contribution.
Yeah, and if you have never donated before, or if you are a current donor and you might be interested in increasing your donation, if you make a monthly gift of $8 or more, we have some incredible member benefits that I want to share with you. First of those is NPR Plus. If you make a sustaining monthly gift of $8 or more, then you will be qualified for NPR Plus, and that gets you sponsor-free podcast listening, early access, bonus content to amazing NPR podcasts that you can connect to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to your pods. You can make use of NPR Plus. On top of that, you'll receive WGVU Passport. It's one of our best member benefits. It brings you thousands of hours of incredible programs on the PBS app, PBS Passport. It's going to be things like Ken Burns documentaries, great masterpiece dramas, Nature, Nova, Finding Your Roots, Antiques Roadshow, and local WGVU PBS programs. The third benefit that you'll get is WGVU's Young Explorers program that gives you the opportunity to register up to 5 children, 12 and under, to receive amazing benefits, to visit fun and educational partners around West Michigan like Blandford Nature Center, the Muskegon Museum of History and Science, the Holland Museum, Outdoor Discovery Center, the Grand Rapids Children's Museum, John Ball Zoo, and more. So again, you can get all of that, NPR Plus, WGVU's Passport Benefit, and WGVU Young Explorers when you make a monthly contribution of $8 or more in support of WGVU NPR. And you can do that right now online at wgvu.org/giveday.
That's right. That $8 bundle of membership benefits, as we call it here, it's such a great way to connect with the community, to access great public media bonus content, and your investment of $8 per month, it helps us to sustain non-commercial public radio for our whole community and to plan ahead for the future. So we do invite you to make that as an $8 per month ongoing sustaining monthly gift. And again, please join us tomorrow night at Founders Brewing Company. Again, that's Saturday, May 2nd. Concert's going to start at 7 p.m. It's going to be an evening of live jazz with the Grand Rapids Jazz Orchestra and Candid Antics. That is a free concert. There will be a suggested donation to support WGVU. And then we have got Founders Brewing Company put together a special beer for us. They're calling it Viewers Like Brew. And a dollar from each beer is going to get donated to WGVU for that one. So again, it'll be a fun evening of community, great music, craft brews, and public radio supporters out at Founders Brewing Company tomorrow at 7 p.m. So we hope to see you there.
About the community. Next guest here to spread the word about the wonderful work of Michigan CASA. It's all about advocacy, community volunteers, and a gala right around the corner. Let's talk to you, CEO of Michigan CASA, Susanna Patterson. Glad that you are here. Welcome to West Michigan.
Thank you for having me.
Carlos Culas Dominguez, many know of the good work you do in the community. Now you, Partner Engagement Manager for Michigan CASA. Good morning to you, Carlos.
Good morning, Shelley.
All right, team. Glad that we are here. There is a gala on the 6th of May. That's right around the corner. Susanna, I welcome you to West Michigan. And already I'm asking you to explain what Michigan CASA is all about. First of all, yes, welcome.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here. I'm loving West Michigan. CASA is a volunteer organization that provides volunteer advocates from the community to children in foster care to advocate for their best interest. So we have 23 local programs across the state that are serving 30 of Michigan's counties. Michigan CASA supports those local programs. We provide quality assurance, technical support, training. We do volunteer recruitment, all the kinds of things that help those local programs really thrive and serve the nearly 10,000 children in foster care across the state of Michigan.
Yes, love to put you out of business, as we were talking earlier with Mel Trotter Ministries, but I trust you're busy and you need us.
We are, and yes, we need the community to rally behind these programs across the state.
Wonderful. Carlos, talk about your work now with this role in partner engagement.
Absolutely. Thank you, Shelley. I just joined about a month ago, actually yesterday, as partner engagement. And as we're imagining the role, it is going to be an opportunity to engage stakeholders, identify stakeholders, increase capacity with corporate sponsorships, community partnerships, and grow visibility. So engaging and building relationships.
So, yes, when I'm thinking to myself, how can I volunteer, this 2026 CASA should come right to mind. So, Susanna, remind me how it works. If one is saying, it's time for me to volunteer, they need to somewhat take this seriously.
Absolutely. This is a serious volunteer role, a commitment to the life of a child, to be a caring and consistent adult who provides information to the court about what's going on in the life of that child so that our juvenile court judges can make really informed and good decisions about the future of these children and also about meeting their current needs. So if folks are thinking, I'm ready to volunteer, they can contact our office at michigancasa.org, or they can contact their local CASA office. They can find that on our website, or they can just contact us directly and we'll put them in touch with their local program.
Does that volunteer get close with the child, with the family.
Absolutely. They visit the child once every 7 to 10 days. They get to know the child, all of their needs, their wishes, their desires, what really makes that child unique, what makes that family unique. And then they're able to bring that individualized attention to the court and really amplify that child's voice.
Nice. Carlos, can you add to that? And then let's get into a May 6th gala.
Absolutely, Shelley. I think one thing that really resonates with me is that we know that the youth that we serve, the kids that we serve, are one of the most underheard voices in the courtroom. So to be able to have that consistency and to have someone who really has built the trust helps to inform those that are making decisions in the courtroom to really make solid decisions. And we can't do that without more volunteers.
Thanks. And obviously with most nonprofits, you need the time, the talents, the treasures as well. So May 6th takes all of us this 11th annual fundraising gala. I'll start with you, Carlos.
Absolutely. We're super excited to engage community. Our event is actually incorporating attendees from all across the state. And we have some great highlights of our 30 counties and our 23 programs. We will be having an amazing silent auction. It's going to be housed at Venue 32, a great restored old mansion right off of right here in Grand Rapids on 32nd and Schaefer. The tickets are still available, and we are very open to introducing new people and maybe some old friends to back into CASA.
Yes. What time does it start on May 6th?
Starts at 5:30 p.m. with a reception. We have the fabulous Chef Jenna as our MC. And great silent auction item bundles, things like weekend wine tours and a getaway up in the Leelanau Grand Traverse area, some golf outings, a family bundle for the zoo. So great silent auction items. And that silent auction is currently live.
Good. And of course, all those dollars go right to your Michigan CASA. Susanna, will there be a testimony or two? Will you tug at my heart?
Absolutely. We have at least one young lady who has lived experience in the foster care system who will be speaking. And then for folks that are there, they get to hear my story of engagement with the foster care system as a foster and adoptive parent. And so I am super excited about that night, super excited to tell people about the wonderful work that CASA is doing across the state and the incredible work that we're doing at Michigan CASA.
You bet. Again, Michigan Court Appointed Special Advocates is your CASA, led by Susanna Patterson, Carlos Culas Dominguez, with our partner engagement manager role as well. Susanna, give us a tease, a bit of your life.
Well, I'm a... I usually joke that I'm a recovering attorney. I have 3 law degrees because everyone needs 3 of those.
I'm doing the math on that.
No one actually needs 3 of those. But I'm a single parent, adopted a sibling group of 4 out of foster care about 13 years ago, and then later adopted another sibling of that group. So now single mom of 5. Raising those kids and doing this work and just super passionate about child welfare and making sure that these kids who are the most vulnerable children in our community have their voices and their stories heard by the courts.
And when one is ready to say, I would like to step forth and help, what's my time commitment in general?
We generally tell people that your time commitment is going to be somewhere between 8 to 10 hours a week. And that's going to include all of the kind of travel time and backside admin time and thinking about what we're talking to kids about, as well as the in-person engagement with children and families.
Yep. Again, we're taking it serious, but there are many silver linings to that. Carlos, add to this conversation.
I think something that's very unique too is the training that we provide for our volunteers. It is extremely, it can be a little bit intense, but you will be feeling very empowered and equipped to represent these kiddos in the court system. I know it can be an intimidating experience for a lot of folks, but with our training and ongoing continued education, you're really well equipped to have the confidence to be that voice that the kids need.
And so cool that Chef Jenna will be your MC, because she'll tug at our heart in one way or the other. Carlos?
Absolutely. We're excited to have Chef Jenna. I know her direct quote for us was that every kid deserves a hug, a voice, and to be heard.
Yes. take that to many places. Lastly, Susanna, again, I introduce you as new, but you certainly have hit the ground running and doing well. What's something that needs to be accomplished under your leadership?
Quite frankly, we need to serve more children in the state of Michigan. We're serving about 11% of those 10,000 kids in care every day, and I would really like to see us serve every child in the state of Michigan. So we've got a lot of work to do.
Yes, and again, you in the trenches yourself as a great example. Carlos Culas Dominguez, would you remind us again of the May 6th gala information?
Absolutely. May 6th, 5:30 p.m. at Venue 32. We have plenty of tickets open. Silent auction is open. We have a little sneak peek of a chocolate frenzy that people will be able to experience to help the cause. And if you aren't able to attend, we welcome any inquiries for volunteers and donations.
Yes. Again, time, talents, and treasures. What's that website one more time?
It is going to be michigancasa.org, and you'll find all of the information for our event.
Final words from you, Susanna Patterson, CEO.
The kids in foster care are our community's children, and we as a community need to step up to support them. There's lots of ways to do that, as is the theme of our gala. It takes all of us, and it takes all of us not only to serve those kids, but also to support Michigan CASA.
Nice. Many hats you wear, lawyer, CEO, but probably the most important, mom.
Yes.
Thank you. And dog. Dad, how's that?
Absolutely.
Go there.
And right. A happy uncle of 11.
Thank you all on behalf of Michigan CASA and the good work being done in our own backyard. Your inspiration, according to May 1, Friday, two wrongs don't make a right, but they make a good excuse, says Thomas Saz. Hope you have a good day, good weekend. I hope you learned from the show. I'm Shelley Irwin. Have a great one.